The Fan on Demand. Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports. Now on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Still Wednesday, September 17, 2014, Primetime Sports on your radio, on your television. It's the nation's most listened to sports talk show. Bob McCown, Stephen Brunt in our Toronto studios. It's been an interesting and busy week. We will talk about the NFL's image taking a beating. Darren Marshall of Revolution Sports Marketing will join us a little bit later on. We booked Mr. Marshall to come on this program, unaware that even more news would be coming out, and it has. In the last couple of hours, we are getting, we pretty much got confirmation now that Cardinal running back Jonathan Dwyer has been arrested for domestic violence. That is three significant off-field incidents that have not necessarily taken place in the last couple of weeks, but have surfaced as news stories in the past couple of weeks. And you wonder where the tipping point is here, if there's going to be one. And we'll address that subject a little bit later on. But other news was made today. That by our next guest. He is the president of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Here is John Davidson. JD, how are you?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good, thank you. And how are you folks?
We're excellent. Thank you very much. Did you get on the Valium? Have you calmed down a little bit? Because you went a little, goofy earlier.
Calm all the way through. Just saying it the way it is.
I don't doubt that necessarily. You had some very harsh words for not necessarily one of your players, but perhaps his representation and specifically what he was asking for. Tell us where you think you are in the negotiations with Ryan Johansson.
Well, I suspect that we're in a situation where we've made three different offers with three different terms, the two-year bridge, the six-year, and the eight-year. They disagreed, which is their right. They came back with numbers that are way up there, that are just not sensible, to us at least. They're not sensible. It's not going to happen. Now, they may have left town today. I'm in Columbus. Our camp with physical starts tomorrow, and then on the ice Friday. So whether they left town or not, I don't know. There was talk that they were going to if there was no conclusion to the contract talks. And with those types of numbers, there's no conclusion to the contract talks. We feel that we as an organization want to be extremely fair. There's a CBA in place. When the players have leverage, they have arbitration rights, they have unrestricted free agency, they use it. And so they should, because that's exactly what the CBA says. Now, coming out of entry level, we do have some rights as management with bridge contracts and things. We would like to, we explored the bridge thing. We've explored two other long-term deals. It hasn't satisfied them. Their numbers, in our opinion, are way out there. They're not even talking points, to be honest with you. So, you know, after a while, when you talk and you talk and you keep sensing that you're getting hit over the head, you get tired of it. Enough. It's silly games to me. You know, guys, and I was saying this earlier on another show, I have an agent. His name is Sandy Montag. He lives in New York. He's with IMG for a long time, and he represents John Madden and Bob Costas and NFL coaches. And I'm not even sure who all he represents, because he's a very interesting guy and doesn't talk about his clients. But we were talking today about the art of a deal. And he said that he learned a ton of stuff from Mark McCormick, one of the great past agents in any business.
Founder of IMG.
And, right, exactly. And Arnold Palmer and all that stuff.
Yep.
And He talked about when you make a deal, you don't go in there and try to kill somebody. It's not the idea isn't to go to slaughter somebody in a deal. The idea is to go there and do a fair deal, what's right for both sides. Maybe even go have a beer with the guy after. But at least you're able to continue your relationship and work other deals down the road because you've done what's fair. We feel, though this is just me, it's not Kurt Overhart and his group, it's our side. We feel that we've been very fair, more than fair. And what we're getting back is anything but fair. So, you know, you take it. And then somewhere along the line, you know, you go, that's enough. I've had enough. And I don't mind saying publicly what we've offered. I don't mind it at all. When players sign a deal, that gets disclosed. The numbers come out. So, no, it doesn't bother me whatsoever. I think we've been upfront. I think we've been honest. I think we've been fair. And it's not getting anywhere.
So what have you offered and what are they asking for then, John, if we're going to do this publicly?
Well, no, I'll get into what we've offered. The bridge deal, we offered $3 million per year. The all-time high going in was 3.5 for Duchesne. And this year, Edmonton went higher with the one-year deal to their guy. The six-year, we offered $32 million. The eight-year, we offered $46 million. And both, when you look at comparables around the league, are very good. Now, they come back. The bridge deal, the three a year, they want twice as much. The other two, they've gone much, much, much higher. And when you compare our player, and he's a good player, and he's a great kid, and I mean this, and I'm not taking this out at all on Ryan Johansson. He's a good kid, and he's come a long way. And I was also saying earlier that over the last year or two, we've worked in concert with the agents getting Ryan Johansson to just learn what it takes. He's a young guy. He was not, we felt he had more to offer and he had more to learn to be a pro, and he's worked at it. And this past season, it worked out. He played pretty darn well. But in this situation, fair is fair. Craziness is craziness. And I spoke out. I don't mind it. I don't mind saying it the way it is. I'll attach my name to it. I'm being honest. I'm not telling any tales out of school. I'm not whispering to somebody else and have them say it. I'm saying it the way it is, and I'm being honest about it, no more than that. All we want is a fair deal.
JD, there's a couple of issues at play here, and I want you to comment on them. Number one is, in any contract negotiation, there are times when the hammer is in the hands of the player and the time when the hammer is in the hands of the team.
Exactly.
I think most people would agree that right now you have that hammer. You want to use it gently, because it could come back and bite you in the ass later on.
Sure, but you absolutely.
Do, right, but you do have that. That's number one.
Yes.
Number
yes.
two issue in my mind is, are you being asked to pay for multiple years of successful performance when in truth, what you've really only received is 1 year? In other words,
that's correct.
You want, you're from Missouri right now, and I know you used to be live there, You know, that's the show me state. So you're in a,
yeah.
Okay, you had a good year. Let's have another one, and then we'll talk after that one.
Yeah, well, we did start that discussion in these negotiations with the idea of the bridge contract because we wanted to see more.
Right.
And then we said, you know what, this kid's a good kid. We do see that he did come a long ways in the 1 year. Let's think about something that might make sense to both sides. So we discussed the idea of a 6 year and an 8 year, and they came back with numbers that just don't make sense. They just don't make sense. I suspect that they would love a long term deal at a gigantic number. You know, to be frank with you, honestly, that if and somebody said you take it personal, I said, you know, yes and no, and here's why. First of all, money has no conscience. So that's just a fact of life.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get into these discussions and you run an organization and you try to do what's right for you, I mean, I was a player rep. I was a player. I understand hockey. I understand the emotions. I understand players. I understand where the game is. But I want what's fair for our players. And if you go ask our players, I think our organization has been very, very fair. I don't want to be taken advantage of. Now, if I went and agreed to Kurt's demands for the 6 year or the 2 year or the 8 year and had him sign it, I might get fired and maybe should be fired. So, you know, in that regard, I do take it serious and I take it personal. It's crazy. Let's man up here and do something that's fair to both sides, that makes sense, Ryan Johansson is a fine young hockey player. He's got a great deal of future with him because he's a young player. And he's if he comes in here and decides to go with the bridge at the right number, he may hit the lottery. He has two more years at 30 goals. Boy, oh boy, they're going to sit in a good position. And you know what? We should pay him. If he signs a long term, it should be at a number that's fair to both sides, that fits into where everything is with the league. And on you go. And then when that expires and you've been a terrific hockey player, you're going to hit the lottery. I just want to be fair. That's it. There's no more than that. There's no mind games. There's no nothing hidden. If I was lowballing the player, or if we were, pardon me, not me, if we were our organization lowballing the player, I think that I would probably hear from the other side that we're just lowballing him. How dare them type of thing. We're not. We're being very, very fair.
John, you guys are coming off the best year in the history of the franchise. It's in a challenging market, you know, where, you know, well, challenging because people haven't, you know, there hasn't been a lot to cheer for at times there as well. So I'm not going to blame the
fans.
Fair. But
yeah, that's fair.
But you, this is, you know, it's a really important offseason for you guys. And you want to build on what happened last year. How risky is it for this thing to blow up and go public where people might say, you know, the player and the agent are a bad guy, or you're the bad guy, or somebody's a bad guy, and it's not about what's going on the ice?
It's not about one player. It's about our team. It's about our organization. It's about doing the right thing. We have other young players coming up in the future. We have to have everybody understand that we're not pushovers for anything. We're a well-run, very professional organization. We have a very good young hockey club. Ryan's a very good player for us. We've got other good young players coming, and they're going to get some ice time if Ryan's not here. This is it. But the one thing I want to make clear, and this isn't, when it's settled, you better hope that the kid's in the right frame of mind. This kid is a good kid. I'm just telling you, he is. He's been learning along the way. He's gone from being a kid that had a lot to learn to starting to learn it. He had a good year. He's proven it to us once, but he's got a long way to go, just like our team does, just like everybody else does here. And we're on the right road. But these things happen in sports, and if they as a group want to sit out, it's not our fault. We don't think. It's not our fault at all. We've offered great offers. And what we're getting back are nonsensical in our minds. It just doesn't make sense what we're being asked to pay this young player. So we just have to move forward. That's just, as I say, that's hockey. We just have to move forward.
I guess what I'm asking, though, John, is there a risk having this, you know, this is the kind of thing that goes on behind closed doors a lot of the time. Now it's out there. Is that a risky thing for your franchise?
Well, if they're not going to be here for camp, why would it remain behind closed doors? I don't want people thinking that we have lowballed this kid. I don't want people to think that we can't make a deal because we're a club that lowballs people. We're not. Our ownership is very behind what we're doing, but they're also very behind in making sure everything's done the right way here.
And
we feel strongly as a group that we're doing this the right way.
The president of the Columbus Blue Jackets, John Davidson, is with us. I mean, you got lots of experience in the National Hockey League and doing contracts as a general manager, as a president of a club, et cetera, and not to mention having gone through it, as you mentioned yourself, for a whole bunch of years, albeit in a different era, you would acknowledge.
My highest salary was $175,000.
There you go. That's what I was alluding to.
There you go.
And I don't even think that really matters because everything is in relative terms.
No. I was just saying that. No. Today is relative. The players are great. They're great athletes. They fill the buildings. It is what it is today, even though I will applaud players in the past for really help set up the game to where it is today, for sure.
So in your history, have you ever experienced a discrepancy between an offer and an ask like this one?
Probably not. I've seen guys that represent players that come in at, you know, it's extremely high numbers, but if you don't ask, you don't get. I understand that for sure.
Sure.
But when you get to the point where you know what, it's just, that's enough. This was in July, is July, but we're getting towards camp. But I understand there's an end point. There's pressure points that agents have in their book about how you pressure teams and how teams pressure agents, et cetera, et cetera. If we weren't fair, I wouldn't be barking like this. We're fair. We're extremely fair. And we're just trying to put a deal together so Ryan Johansson could move on and be a player, so he could be paid the way he should be paid, and we can go on in with our business. This isn't a mind game where it's black and white. It's not this hard. It's an easy thing to put together. It really is. It shouldn't be this hard. I think it's a waste of time and energy. And sometimes, and again, when you get hit over the head time after time after time, in this one situation, I'm not going to sit there and get hit over the head. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But, you know, you work, you do deals, you put them together, you shake hands with both sides being in a position where, you know what, that's a good deal for you and it's a good deal for us. And that's exactly the way it should be.
Let me go through a couple of specifics here, as much for the audience as for us. I mean, I think I know the answer, but maybe I don't. With all the different sports, sometimes what happens in one league doesn't happen in the other. Camp opens for you tomorrow, is that right?
So tomorrow's physicals, the camp first day of practice is on Friday. Our first games are next Sunday, so it's right around the corner, the 21st.
Ryan is at this moment without a contract.
Right.
They're absent some agreement in the upcoming hours.
Yeah.
Do you expect him to appear tomorrow or Friday without a contract?
No, absolutely not. No. If he's not here and doesn't have a contract, we move on. We've got line combinations. We're going to look at young players. We have some good players. We just came back last night from Traverse City, Michigan, where there was 8 teams there. NHL team's best prospects, and our team won the championship in a great game against Dallas in overtime. Our players were terrific. We've got some great young players. Wennberg is a former first rounder for us, who played last year in the Swedish Elite League, and did very, very well for a very young player. We're going to take some hard looks at these guys. We've got Boone Jenner, who plays the wing, who can move over to center ice. He's one of the terrific young players in the game. And I'm just mentioning a couple of many others. We've got some other people that we brought in that we signed during the offseason. So this isn't a team that has no depth at all where we're really worried. We would love to have Ryan in our lineup. And if he's not, you got to move forward. That's just what it is.
But if he doesn't have, I just want to get to the specifics of the legality and illegality here. If he is not signed, could he still come to camp or not?
Not from our point of view. No.
Okay, that's your position on it, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there, in your mind, a deadline in terms of when this has to be done? Otherwise, I mean, I know that theoretically you move on, but have you circled a date on the calendar?
No, we haven't. When this thing gets done, he'll be welcomed back. The longer it goes, the harder it's going to be for him because, I mean, that's just natural. You look at young players or any players who have sat out, they come back and they've missed training camp or they've missed the start of the season. All of them have been quoted as saying, boy, I told you, that was hard. That was really hard. You pull muscles, you have groin injuries, things. These are just facts of life. I'm just stating facts. I'm not saying anything that's not. But he'd certainly be welcomed back. It won't be easy if this thing drags on for a long period of time, for sure. You never know what happens. Who knows? An offer sheet could come our way. He may say he wants to pack up and go play in Russia. I don't know. All I know is we've offered very fair deals. They've come back, and in our opinion, those numbers are out of line, and we move on and see where it goes.
And just one final point. There is no arbitration process that relates to this kind of situation.
No, because he's out of entry level. There isn't for 2 years. After that, there is. Right. And then if the player and the team goes through that process, you go through the process. And whatever the arbitrator comes out with, that's what it is. That's the CBA. That's how it reads. You follow it because that's what the document says.
We'll watch with great interest to see if and how this might be resolved.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Take a deep breath and it'll be okay.
Oh, yeah. Got a baseball game on, getting ready for camp. It's hockey season. We've got a good young team. We're excited about it.
JD, always good of you to join us. Thanks, pal.
Take care, gang. Thank you.
John Davidson, the president of the Columbus Blue Jackets.
It's interesting to see it play out like that, because, obviously agents look for pressure points. you take whatever leverage you can get. Coming off an entry level, you don't have a ton, although in theory an offer sheet could show up, but of course they never do, or almost never do. But, you know, you're going to try and do what you can for your client. What you just don't see very often is that the other side going and saying, hey, here's what's going on. Here's exactly what the money is. Here are the comparables. And you decide. You know, it's an interesting thing to kind of take that public and take it to your fans.
I think John Davidson feels as though, I mean, clearly he feels that the offer is fair. But he also has, he thinks in his mind, you know, he believes this is the second highest. There's a comparable out there, and he's virtually at that comparable.
Getting there, yeah. To the highest. In terms of the bridge.
To the highest.
Yeah, in terms of the bridge contract.
Bridge deal. And he believes, like, he can't go any further than that. That's his, you know, that's the bar.
Well, it can't.
Unless you decide to break that bar.
Yeah, you move the bar. The bar is always going to move. And if I'm an agent, I'm trying to move that bar. That's my job.
And with due respect to the player, Johansson, he had one good year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he didn't have a Sidney Crosby year. He didn't have an Ovechkin year. He didn't have a superstar year. But he had a good year.
Yeah, he's, you know, early days, right?
I understand. But, I mean,
you're paying for his future. You're paying for future, right? And that's exactly what, and, you know, you can take.
Well, and the gutter is littered with guys who had one good year in professional
sport.
But
the other thing is, you do a bridge deal and, you know, then you might end up paying.
What he's offering.
But he's trying to get, that's the interesting question is, you know, how much you can get. Again, you try and raise the bar. The agent's job is to try and raise the bar on all of those things. Bring that bridge deal up a little. Make him pay a little bit more on that.
Yeah.
It'll be
a big difference between three to 3.5 and 6.5.
But, you know, there is, but it's going to be, you know, it'll be a stare down. And, again, the only unusual thing is that this is not happening behind closed doors, that it's happening publicly at a time when that franchise, you know, there's been almost zero good news in the history of that franchise. They come off a good year. If people are ever going to get excited, they're going to get excited. Now you're heading into a fresh new season and, you know,
maybe that's why the agent thinks he has leverage.
That's exactly why he thinks he has leverage. And I don't blame him for trying. So that's what he's supposed to do.
Our agenda with the next segment was to discuss the tarnished reputation of the National Football League. But there have been some developments. Earlier today, Peterson was suspended finally by the Vikings indefinitely. Suspended with pay, by the way.
Yeah, he's on the exempt list, right? So it's,
But at least they corrected the wrong they made earlier this week, I think, at least in my opinion. And they did it clearly under pressure from fans, sponsors, advertisers, people that have the ability to put pressure on an organization. I don't think there was a come to Jesus moment for the Minnesota Vikings, really.
No, they reacted to the reaction, which has been the story all along here with everything.
So that's on the table earlier today. And then in the last couple of hours comes the story of Cardinal running back Jonathan Dwyer, who's been arrested for domestic violence. And on it goes. And we're still trying to gather all the information on that. But you start to wonder whether these stories now becoming public, getting a national profile, may encourage others who have been victims of similar kinds of things to go public with it. I'm not suggesting, I know that that's happened. I wonder. I think I'll be really interested to see how this evolves.
I think it's more likely that what is going to happen is that what would have been a two-line wire service story 2 weeks ago is now a big story because of the context. You know,
I think that's true for sure.
Yeah.
Is this brand, the National Football League's brand, unbreakable, or could a whole bunch of little anthills add up to a big mountain? Darren Marshall is with Revolution Sports Marketing. He joins us to talk about this. Good to take time for us, Darren. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Excellent. So, maybe we've got a few anthills here. Do they become a mountain? Can they become a mountain? Common thought is that the National Football League brand is still too big, too powerful for any of this to really matter. Oh, yes, there'll be the odd corporation that will saber-rattle a little bit, but they're not really going anywhere. The NFL brand is impenetrable. Is it?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they used to call the Titanic the ship that couldn't sink, and it did, but the NFL really is the ship that can't sink. It's just so big, so powerful, so important to corporations, to TV networks, to sponsors, and to fans, that something like this is, you know, imagine an aircraft carrier sailing through a minefield. You hit a mine, it blows a small hole in the side, the ship doesn't sink. Maybe it hits another mine, ship still doesn't sink. It keeps on going, you fix it on the go, maybe it, you know, goes a little slower for a while, but, you know, the ship keeps on sailing.
But we had, you know, we did have a bit of sponsor pushback, at least with the Minnesota Vikings, right? There's something, and it's not equivalent to what happened with the NBA and Donald Sterling's case, where it, you know, looked like league sponsors were going to walk away, and obviously they had a potential player insurrection there as well. But we have kind of seen the first signs of actual money leaving the league because of some of this stuff going on. Can that kind of thing mushroom if they can't turn the page, which is, you know, every one of these things prevents them from turning the page.
Yeah. Here's my thought on it. So what's happened with the Ray Rice situation first? So a nuclear explosion happens around Ray Rice. He's radioactive. He's toxic for his sponsors. Everyone drops him. The team suspends him. He's done. There isn't a ton of fallout for his team, but there's a little bit, you know, because they're kind of, you know, maybe, you know, 10 or 15 miles removed from the kind of fallout zone, if you imagine a nuclear bomb dropping somewhere. And the league was kind of like 100 miles away. So they felt some tremors, but they weren't really hurt by it. Then the next one drops with Peterson. Next nuclear explosion happens. He's radioactive. His sponsors start to drop him like flies. Then the team mishandles it. The team is caught in this kind of ridiculous situation and making this announcement and not even thinking that there was a Radisson brand name behind them. And they start losing sponsors. So they got caught in the fallout. And again, the NFL gets a little bit rocked. They're still a couple hundred miles away from where the bomb went off. So they're getting queasy. They're getting sick. But they're not in any, you know, real danger of being seriously injured at this point. And these things keep going off again. And, you know, I think you're exactly right. Things that would have merited a couple of lines in the Wire report a week ago are now getting a lot more attention. But I come back to the fact that, you know, the arrest rate for this type of stuff within NFL players is, as far as I know, based on the most recent reports, almost identical to the general population, for guys of that age. So these things are going to continue to happen because, regrettably, a certain percentage of the population behaves like this. And the NFL is kind of a microcosm of that population. But to imagine that it's ultimately going to bring the whole thing down and sink the ship is very difficult to conceive.
And I've heard that, and we've talked a lot about that kind of stuff. And I'll take some issue with that, Darren, because here's what I'll say to you. My expectation, I don't want to speak for the general public, but my expectation of a professional sports league is that they should be held to a higher standard, and their athletes should be held to a higher standard than the general population. So I look at that comparative number of, and I've seen actually numbers that are more favorable to the NFL, that there's about a 50% chance or 50% less chance of an NFL player being convicted of a crime than the general population of the United States. So in an overall way, NFL players generally are pretty good guys. Now, you mitigate that by the fact that the general population doesn't make a million plus a year. Every NFL player does that. They don't have limousines and sports cars and women falling off their arms. NFL players have all that. So they should be happier, better, in a better place in their lives, hanging around with a different class of people, less likely to get into trouble, et cetera, et cetera. So, there's all kinds of spin that you can put on this thing. What it comes down to is the NFL, I think what the public is starting to say is, we understand you're going to have some guys who are going to do some bad things. What we expect you, NFL, to do is treat them accordingly. We expect you to punish them at a substantially greater rate than society would. We're not really offended that Ray Rice somehow managed to wiggle through the New Jersey State judicial system and basically get a slap on the wrist. That's not what bugs us. What bugs us is you, the NFL, gave him two games. That's what drives us crazy, that the Minnesota Vikings were prepared to welcome Peterson back to camp 2 days after the story broke about his indiscretions. That's the stuff that drives us nuts. Your response.
Yeah. And I don't disagree with any of that. I mean, you know, yes, they're just as likely as, you know, other Americans to, you know, screw up in this way. But you're right. They should be held to a higher standard. And the NFL as a private institution can punish these guys however they want. They don't have to play by, you know, due process and everything else. They can do whatever they want. And I think you're absolutely right. They didn't get ahead of this. They've been reactive to this the whole time, as you were saying in your intro to the segment. And they need to get back in front of this, and they need to start imposing, you know, heavier discipline on these athletes and more consistently. And they need to control the teams to get ahead of the story, to control it, and to create a public perception that they are actually doing the right thing and they have the authority to impose that, which they don't at the moment. But, you know, the long term, again, I come back to it. The fortunate or unfortunate reality is next Sunday there'll be a whole sheaf of games being played, and Thursday and Monday there'll be games being played, and that will draw attention again away from this and back to the field. So from a big picture perspective, you know, if I'm a sponsor, I'm sitting there and saying, I want you to deal with this, and I think you've seen that in the statements from Budweiser and McDonald's and the other corporations. But ultimately, am I thinking about pulling my dollars out of the sport for good? I'm not.
Darren, were you surprised at the leagues? You know, and again, this may be a function of being as big and successful and apparently invulnerable as they are, but their tone deafness in terms of the reaction. They seem to not get ahead and not anticipate what the reaction was going to be. They've been a step behind all the way here.
Yeah, I am. I mean, you would think that they would have the absolute best PR people, the absolute best security people, which apparently they had, being ex-FBI guys and Philadelphia State Troopers and all the rest of it. But it is surprising, to be honest. I mean, you know, sports marketing 101, these things happen all the time. In, you know, be it, you know, maybe not domestic violence, but be it, you know, the Michael Vick situation or Kobe Bryant or Michael Phelps, you know, it goes on and on and on. Tony Stewart. So you expect this stuff to happen and you should contingency plan for it. It's a little bit surprising that they didn't do that.
Well, yeah, and there's the other one, too. I've heard the great security, you know, we've heard all about all these great people that are involved with the National Football League. Hold on. What's their job? Their job isn't to investigate players and expose them. Their job is to cover stuff up. That's what they're there for. They're there to protect the interests of the National Football League, which means if you go and do something that you're not supposed to do, you have a phone number to call so that somebody can come and get you out of trouble. That's what the security force of the National Football League is. Cite the case. I'm not trying to pick on you, Darren. I apologize for making it sound that way, but I mean, I've asked numerous people, cite the case where the great investigative forces of the National Football League managed to uncover something that was embarrassing to the NFL and exposed themselves. It's the police being asked to police themselves, and society doesn't let that happen anymore. We used to, but we don't trust them. When they have to investigate themselves, they will invariably cover it up. And that's what the NFL security forces do. This notion that somehow these are great, powerful, and noble people who have nothing but honesty on their minds is absurd. There is zero evidence to suggest that has ever been the case in this league or any other. They are there to protect the athlete. The athlete gets caught with his hand in the cookie jar. They call a phone number, and some guy shows up at the police station, and his agenda is mitigate the damage, get the guy out of there. That's what he's there for. He's not there to gather the information so that he can go back to Goodell and say, well, Mr. Commissioner, here's what this guy did. Clearly we need to punish him. Let me throw a question at you here, because I don't expect you to respond to that diatribe. Are you of the opinion that leagues, sports leagues, should be allowed to follow the judicial or legal system? In other words, we are deferring a decision on punishment for Adrian Peterson pending conclusion of his legal position. Or, conversely, should the league be proactive and say, until such time as we find out whether you're guilty or innocent in the legal system, it doesn't matter to us. You have broken the code of conduct in our league, and we're going to give you this punishment.
Yeah, I think it's the latter. I mean, like I said, these are private institutions. You hold a higher standard, as you guys were saying a few minutes ago, and you have to take action based on, I mean, Peterson's admitted he did it. He's not arguing the fact that he did it.
Right.
Right. So then, you know, you take action, whether what he's convicted of, if anything, ultimately what sentence he gets, ultimately, that's a judicial matter. But the NFL and the league can do what the heck they want. And, you know, they should hold them to a higher standard. And, you know, it's really hard, I think, to find anyone who would say the same thing has been handled well in any way. You know, and I go back to the thing that you guys are saying. It's being reactive and not proactive.
Seems to me they're 0-2 in the last 2 weeks. Now, I understand the National Football League, you know, isn't being condemned necessarily for taking action or not taking action against Peterson, but the Minnesota Vikings certainly did.
But there are little nuances in all of these, Bob. You know, the Peterson one is you know, the difference with that one is he is charged, but again, there's no real argument over the fact that, you know, he acknowledges that he did it. It's, you know, the question is how culpable he is going to be criminally, but there's no argument about
that.
The
Minnesota Vikings brought him back.
They did.
And planned on playing him.
But there's, you know, I'm just saying, you know, Hardy was convicted and he was appealing a conviction, and the Carolina Panthers let him play pending an appeal to something which he'd already been convicted. You know, Rice had already been processed by the system, and then because of other evidence, people got upset, and then the league reacted to that. So all of these things are kind of, you know, kind of classic before the court stuff. They, you know, to a degree, they
were all
processed.
Well, that's why I'm asking the question. Should the league take it upon themselves to defer their decisions until the judicial system takes its course, or should they be out ahead of it and make decisions regardless of what might happen to a player? And I mean, I'm acknowledging that's a tough one. It's not easy to substantiate either argument.
I'm just saying, in these cases, in both the first two cases, the guys had been through the system, and in the third case, because there's no dispute about the facts, and I think that's the one difference. You know, if somebody is accused of something and there is a dispute about the facts about whether it actually happened, then I think punishing somebody, you know, judging somebody guilty, you know, rather until they prove themselves innocent is probably not the way to go. From a cynical marketing point of view, it may well be the way to go. I don't know.
Rice, let me ask both you guys this question. Do you think Rice, the NFL gives Rice more than two games if he is convicted by New Jersey and is given a prison sentence?
Oh, absolutely.
So their reaction was to what happened in the court of law.
Yeah.
It was virtually, you know, because we have spent, you would understand, Darren, we've spent a lot of time, everybody spent a lot of time weighing did the NFL see the video? Did they try and cover it up? Did they have to see that video? There was all the talk about new evidence, and now we're reacting to it. I'm trying to say, let's go back to the whatever they saw enough to be able to make a decision that this was worth more than two games. Every reasonable person believes that to be true. I think Goodell has admitted just about as much. They gave him two games because he didn't get it.
Someone asked me last week before this AP report broke of, you know, some league office actually having the video of Rice, you know, punching his girlfriend inside the elevator. They said, well, you know, is Goodell going to survive this? And I said, absolutely he is, with one exception. If there's a cover-up, if he's implicated in the cover-up, then just like everything else going back to Watergate, anything that's ever had the word gate appended to it, you know, the cover-up is always worse than the initial act.
Mm-hmm.
And that would bring him down. And you know, there's still no suggestion that there's anything like that out there, but I think that's the one situation where, you know, he could potentially leave. But even then, you know, going back to my little, you know, aircraft carrier analogy, so you know, you court-martial the captain, but then you bring in, you know, the first officer steps up.
That's right.
In another,
and nothing,
you know,
changes.
Command, or you bring in someone out from outside, and the ship keeps on sailing.
And that's why I talk about the anthills. If you pile one anthill, means nothing. But if you pile them one on top of another and another and another, eventually you either have to go over it or go around it, and it becomes a lot more difficult. Darren, good of you to take time for us today. My apologies, I wasn't yelling at you. I was just venting. Thanks for being with us.
Good to talk to you.
Darren Marshall of Revolution Sports Marketing. We'll take the break, come back with more. Primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
Prizes like no other, from a club like no other, the Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I do.
I don't think so.
No, they do. They want an update.
Show me,
I got all kinds of email about
Twitter. Emails. Show me emails. Show me emails about the bear.
I've talked about him lately because he's been gone.
When you came back from Newfoundland,
he's back.
2 weeks ago, I asked you about the bear.
Hadn't been heard from, but he's back. Got an email from my buddy Charlie Payne across the road.
So you're getting emails from Newfoundland.
No. I had lots of emails.
People in Alberta, Northwest Territories.
Exactly.
Any update on the bear, Steve?
I got lots of those, but then it went quiet, and now he's back. Charlie said he came by last night.
Well, he just came by to say hello?
No, he tore up their garbage box and then dragged all the stuff and put it on my lawn.
Oh, you can't be happy with that.
No, because there's no garbage at my place anymore. There's no one there.
So is Charlie going over to fix it?
Charlie said it's a good bear. He's pretty happy about the bear. He said it's fine.
Took my garbage and put it on Brunt's lawn.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't care. You're not there anyway.
He seemed quite pleased about it. It'll probably be there when the snow melts next year.
Well, maybe Charlie shouldn't put the garbage out anymore.
Well, then what would happen?
Well, then the bear wouldn't go in the garbage.
Well, you got to put it somewhere.
Well, leave it in the garage or something. Does he have a garage?
Yeah, he does. But then you'd have a bear in your... I would rather have a bear.
The bear's not going to go in the garage, is he?
Oh, yeah.
How's a bear going to get in the garage? Just break the door down?
Yeah, pretty much.
Really, you think?
Yeah, that's kind of what they do.
It's a flimsy garage, then.
No, it's just what they're big, strong things.
So is there any evidence that the bear has... he hasn't done anything to any people?
No, not that we know. No, he has not done it. I think people are going to do something to him pretty soon.
Well, if they catch him, right?
Well, I think that'll become the they got two choices. They can call the boys with the trap again and bring the traffic back. Of course, that didn't do any good.
The bear's too smart for the trap.
Bear's too smart for the trap.
What'd they put in the trap?
They put pancake syrup and a loaf of white bread and some turkey fat.
Why didn't they go big? They could just could have gone with the white meat, some turkey breast.
That's what they thought the bear wanted. The bear.
He's a very discriminating bear.
The bear did not want it. So I'm thinking now what will happen is what...
What was in Charlie's garbage that he wanted?
I don't know.
What did Charlie have for dinner that he didn't finish?
Pancakes, apparently. But, animals disappear out there every once in a while, right? Like, there was a moose once.
Oh, you think?
Moose, you're not supposed to just shoot moose randomly, but there's an old guy who had a great garden down there, and the moose would come in his garden.
Uh-oh.
And then one night, somebody heard a bang. It's right in the middle of town. And the next day, there's this big pile of sawdust in the back of his garden, kind of like a big lump. And they said, "What's that?" And he said, "Oh, no, just piling stuff up out back."
So you think he shot the moose and buried it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Does moose not make good eating?
It does, but I think it's an illegal moose in that case. So it's
He wanted to just get rid of the evidence.
So he put her down, put him in the garden. Stuff, I guess, good for the garden, right? Like, everything's good for the garden. I assume a great big dead moose would be good for the garden.
You think?
He has a beautiful garden.
Is it better now than it was?
It looks pretty good. So I would...
Flowers just blooming everywhere.
Blooming everywhere. So I would assume Mr. Bear's fate is something along those lines, that there will be a shot in the middle of the night and no one will... There we go. Somebody might end up with a rug.
Well, I don't want anybody to get hurt.
Even the bear?
Well, I don't really want the bear to get hurt.
I just assume the bear was gone by next...
If it happens, it's not going to be the end of, my life or anything, and I'm not going to jump off a cliff.
I'd like him gone by next summer. So feel free, people. Do whatever you have to do.
Now, if he's still there, will you take matters into your own hands next time?
Oh, yeah. Time? Yes, I will.
You will, huh?
I'll go whack him with a broom or something, yes.
No, you're going to get a big-ass gun and shoot him.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Chicken. Our thanks to Darren Marshall and John Davidson for joining us on the program. For Brunt McCowan, have a nice evening. We'll see you tomorrow on Primetime.